Okay, we're back. You're listening to Left Out on WRCT. We're talking to Dan Fine, who is a member of the Physicians for Social Responsibility and is a longtime anti-nuclear activist. Dan has been talking, we've been talking for the last segment about the Bush administration's nuclear, the updated version of the Star Wars program, the Ballistic Missile Defense Program. So the question I have for Dan is that he was talking earlier about the infeasibility of such a defense program, never mind its inadvisability. And the thing that occurs to me is, Dan, is that it's pretty obvious, I think, to anyone that the likelihood of this sort of thing working seems rather small. So you wonder, what is the real motivation for this?
Well, the motivations are probably multiple and complex, but the long-term motivation, I believe, and I think many people believe, is that this is a stalking horse, if you will, for weaponization of space. And that is actually putting a variety of weapons into space, including nuclear warheads in space, that would be able to be positioned directly over potential enemy targets and to attack from that position. And this is not this concept is not a fantasy. The Space Command of the Pentagon has a document, for example, which you can, I think you can probably still find it on the web, which is called Vision 2020, which spells out all of the details of weaponization of space. And there are two direct objectives. One is military domination of space, that's what they call full spectrum dominance of space. And the other is that there are forces in the world that don't appreciate or would oppose the expansion of American commercial enterprise, and that this is considered to be a protection of American investment all over the world. And this is spelled out very explicitly in that document.
Hmm. Was that part of the project for the New American Century? You mentioned that that was something that the PNAC report, which was written by the usual suspects and architects of the current Bush military policy.
Right. It certainly is embraced by the whole idea of that. The Vision 2020 is a separate document,
yeah.
But of course the underlying supposition is that the savior of the United States and of the world, of course, is to create an entire world in our image,
yeah.
And to allow the expansion of economic enterprise explicitly,
yeah.
In every part of the globe.
So, I mean, I think there are, one of the justifications, I mean, is just giving money to the defense industry, just feeding that military industrial complex vast amounts of money to you know, that's the Bush, you know, that's what they do.
Yes, well, there's no question about that.
But one of the comments I struck me about the militarization of space is the idea that relatively low technology method of simply launching a satellite that has millions of ball bearings in it, blowing it up at various orbit levels as a way of defending against the United States militarization of space or the use of space would seem to be a pretty simple and effective way of pretty much eliminating the use of space for anything for basically the foreseeable future. Would wipe out space travel as a possibility, because anything would go up there would be hit by these high-velocity particles.
Debris.
There's already a lot of debris up there, and you could just put tons of the stuff up there that would make it, render it pretty much useless for any human purposes at all. So it seems insane.
Yeah, I think in terms of long-term prospects, it would be totally insane. I think most people, common sense, would indicate that space ought to be, in a sense, sacrosanct and excluded from military competition. The other immediate effect of this would be that, given the role of communication satellites, controlled satellites, surveillance, and so on, today, by any advanced industrial nation, that an attack on its satellite system would be considered an act of war. And, in fact, would probably be a basis for launching an attack on the country that presumably attacked one's satellites.
There's another weapon that's been talked about that I forgot what they call it now, but it's on the drawing board. It's a supersonic fighter of some sort. It can go almost into the atmosphere, out of the atmosphere, and can could bomb any place in the country, in the world, in a matter of, you know, half an hour or something like that. Have you heard about this proposal and
a super bomber? I have. I don't know the details, but the idea would be to have these weapons or bombers or whatever in space so that they could, I believe, be in a position or in orbit or something so that they could be dropped on a target really at a very, very short time, much shorter than an intercontinental ballistic missile.
So you're really saying that seeing this as a tool for global domination then is really your point?
That's not my interpretation. That's written in the documents that we referred to. It has now reached the point where its advocates are saying we should be unembarrassed about the term American empire. That empire has gotten a bad name.
Yeah, that's really the gist of the so-called neocon agenda, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. We're talking with Dan Fine, who's from the Physicians for Social Responsibility. You're welcome to call us at 412-621-9728 or to send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info.
Let me just, before we switch to a new topic, let me just ask Dan if he could mention a little bit about this. The Physicians for Social Responsibility has a thing called the Smart Security Campaign. They're trying to use this as a PR campaign to inform people about the ridiculous approach to security that the country's taking and make it simple enough and clean enough so that people can understand it. Actually, we got a phone call. Maybe we should take that call, and then we can talk about smart security in a second. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
No, please go ahead.
Well, my question is, what do we do to get rid of nuclear weapons? How do we do that? Do we disarm unilaterally, or what's the answer?
Dan?
Well, the answer is that there has to be, number one, information, education, awareness, public arousal that creates the political will for the United States to declare unequivocally that its goal is the elimination of nuclear weapons. There are model nuclear weapons conventions that are analogous to chemical weapons convention and biological weapons convention that have been ratified. This thing could be developed, negotiated in the appropriate international forum. There is a whole series, I don't know if you're interested in hearing about it, but a whole series of steps that would lead us to the ultimate point of elimination of nuclear weapons. It obviously would require a intrusive verification system, and it would obviously require an enforcement system. But none of this is beyond the capability, really, of international diplomacy if there's a will to do it. And it really depends on the American public being informed of the danger, and the only way it can be done is for the United States to take the lead. And we're far from that, unfortunately.
We're leading the other direction. We're basically taking the lead in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think...
Do you have any comments, caller, on any other questions or comments about that?
Well, I'm just aware that the Congress rejected the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. And why didn't they? Why did they reject it?
Well, the Congress rejected it because the specific political rationale, spoken or not, was that this was being presented by the Clinton administration, and the Jesse Helms and the Republican administration wanted to give a body blow to this effort of the Clinton administration, which had negotiated and signed the treaty in 1996. The underlying thing is that nuclear testing has both been subjectively, rhetorically, and substantively the heart of nuclear weapons development. And the people who believe in nuclear weapons, who want them for a variety of reasons, don't want to give them up. Doing nuclear testing, and incidentally, just recently, and it's still coming up for decision in the current budget authorization bill, is increasing test readiness for the United States to resume nuclear testing. And nuclear testing not only allows you to develop new nuclear weapons, but it's a very clear statement that we have nuclear weapons, that we explode them, that they do terrible things, and that we are prepared to use them. So it sends a rhetorical, ideological message as well as being the basis for that. But the treaty would be a very critical first step. Incidentally, the treaty provides for a very, very exhaustive, incredibly detailed verification system, which would provide a framework for moving on to that to eliminating nuclear weapons.
I think people have to learn about this and get concerned about it. Then Congress will act on it eventually. So I guess that's that. I hope that answers your question. And
thank you.
We'll go on.
Thanks for calling.
So why don't you just take a minute or so, Dan, to mention this, the Smart Security Campaign, which is geared toward educating the American people about, you know, these issues and the problems.
Well, basically, it's an attempt to respond to the popular way and a way that can mobilize public opinion and that can be used by the public and voters to influence policies and to make decisions about electing candidates, whoever they may be. And it's a response to what is inarguably the core of the foreign policy of our administration now, which is to act unilaterally, to ignore and violate international law, to undertake preemptive war, to, in fact, undercut any serious efforts to reduce or eliminate the dangers of weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, and to use a huge amount of limited and precious United States resources for these enterprises that are really desperately needed at home, both to create security in terms of anti-terrorism, things of that sort, but also to provide health care, education, and other things that are critically needed by the American people. So the proposal basically is fairly simple. It has a number of concrete ways of implementing it, but its basic tenets are to strengthen international institutions and support the rule of law to prevent acts of terrorism and to prevent future wars. Number two, to reduce the threat and stop the spread of nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction. And number three, to change budget priorities to reflect what would be considered really smart security needs, smart meaning to use our money in a way that will really increase the security of the world and security of American people.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot for summarizing that. We put a link on our website, leftout.info. You can go there and you can find references to the Smart Security Program as well as other things and the articles by Dan Fine and so on. Do you have so why don't we take a short break? And after the break, we'll be talking about the Iraqi prison scandal. Give us a call at 412-621-9728. Thank you.
Suddenly it's over, the war is finally done. Soldiers in the desert sand still clinging to a gun. No one is the winner, and everyone must lose. Suddenly the war is over, that's the news. Suddenly celebrity is something back in style. Back to running tabloid for a while. Pain's almost everywhere. The whole world's got the blues. Suddenly the war's over. That's the news. That's the news. That's the news. That's the ever-loving, blessed headline news. Someone's missing in Modesto, and it's sad about the clues. Suddenly the war is over, that's the news. Suddenly the cost of war is something out of sight. Lost a lot of heroes in the fight. Politicians do all the talking, soldiers pay the dues. Suddenly the war is over, that's the news. That's the news, that's the news. That's the ever-loving, blessed headline news. Politicians do all the talking, soldiers pay the dues. Suddenly the war is over, and that's the news.